For you found me, you have given life to me. Heartache, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartache, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. Heartache, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me.
Let's stand and turn to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 5. Then we'll go for a moment to chapter 6. I want to preach this morning on a very important subject, living in harmony with your Bible. Living in harmony with your Bible. I like that title. Living in harmony with your Bible. Did you know that harmony is one of the great and beautiful words of human life? You'll notice the difference often in songs between those that are kind of metallic and those that are beautifully, beautifully harmonized and harmonious. It's just something beautiful about harmony. I've really become conscious of this as we've listened to our sermons on contemporary music that our brother Troy Cunningham preached on the Saturday morning of camp meeting. And he makes a lot of emphasis how the Bible talks about harmonious music and harmonious singing and harmony in the music and the singing world of our churches. And I've really been digging into that, wanting to understand it better. But as you dig into the word harmony, harmonious, you can't help but come to your own life. You are either living a life in harmony with the Bible, or you're living a life out of harmony with the Bible. And there's only two ways to live life. You either live it in harmony with your faith, in harmony with the Bible, or you live it otherwise out of harmony and out of fellowship. Now, I want to try to preach this morning on living in harmony with the Bible. Living in harmony with the Bible. God gave us the Bible as our roadmap. God gave us the Bible as our way to heaven. But our Bible isn't just a way to heaven. It's a way to live down here. It is a way to live a productive and a prosperous life. If you live in the harmony of the Bible, you will live a productive and harmonious life. It can't fail. It really can't fail. Because God is absolutely faithful. Absolutely. Now listen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now you understand that righteousness and the Bible are inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. The Bible is a holy Bible. A holy Bible. I don't know anybody that just speaks of the Bible and call it just the Bible without saying the holy Bible. It's a holy book. So blessed are they which do hunger. Notice that word hunger. Thirst after righteousness. Now what I want to do this morning is I want to open in your heart a hunger for the Bible. A hunger for the harmony of your life lived in the Bible. I want to get you hungry to be hungry for holiness. I want to get you hungry to be hungry for holiness and righteousness and your life lived in the Bible. Now, there are many places you can learn about this word harmony. It's so beautiful. Let me take a moment and read another verse, and then you may be seated, okay? This one is in chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 22. The light of the body is the eye, and that eye stands for conscience. It stands for the inner man. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that means it has no other interest but this one interest of the light, of the truth, of the righteousness of God. So if the eye be single, it says, thy whole body shall be full of light. Thy whole body shall be full of light. If therefore thine right, thine light that is in thee be dark, then how great is that darkness? So it deals with two things in that great verse. It says, if the light of your eye is single, your whole life is full of light and life. But if your life and your eye be darkness, your whole life is full of darkness. Now let me apply that to the text, to the subject this morning. If your whole life be full of the light of the Bible, then it floods your whole being. If your life is full of darkness, that too floods your whole being. So you make a choice. Do I live in the light or do I live in the darkness? Father, help me to preach this morning. This sermon is heavy on my heart, and I need the wisdom that only heaven can give. I claim it so in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to come back to that latter verse here in a little while and deal with it more pointedly. But I want you to get the thought fixed in your mind this morning that we must live our life in the light of the Bible. We must live our life in the light of the Bible. The only harmony of life is that is lived in the Bible. Now, I learned something this morning. I'll talk about most of this a little later. But I called the man who tunes our piano. And I said, Carl, I've got a thought I'm working on for my sermon today, and I want to talk to you about the tuning of a piano. I'm going to come to that a little later. But something he said after we talked a little bit, he said, have you ever listened as a plane went over the air over your head? And you heard it, it was like a sound that was going and coming. Boom, you know, I don't have to make the sound he made, but it'd be a steady sound for a moment, then it would break. Steady sound and break. Steady sound and break. He said, Reverend Chambers, the reason that happens is because the two engines of that jet plane are out of harmony. One of them is on a different note. One of them is tuned a little differently, tuned a little separate from the other. And so you hear this going and coming of the sound. He said if they would tune those two jet engines exactly alike, the sound would be steady. It would not be any break, any change, any alteration. He said that's how a piano is. He said if you got two strings and one of them's tuned a little different from the other, then they don't harmonize. And it gave me a lot of details, and they're beautiful, and they were helpful to me. So living in harmony is one of the greatest factors of human life. And living in harmony with the Bible is the steady, most important factor of the Christian life. It's got to be lived in harmony with the Bible. If you're not living your life in harmony with the Bible, that's why you're up and down. You're in and out. You're in church and you're not in church. You're here and you're there. You have no steadiness about you. You're just kind of out of balance. The church world is full of that. It's the factor that is bringing the church to be an almost a forgotten entity today, because the harmony of godly living has disappeared. The harmony of fellowship in the gospel, fellowship in the Holy Ghost, can no longer be possible when people are living on different tunes, when people are following different thoughts. When somebody in the church believes in the Trinity of God, that makes a mighty factor in that church. If you split it up and half of them believe in the Jesus-only doctrine, you would have a break in the harmony of that church. It would affect the spiritual life of that church. If you have a church full of people that are praying and seeking God in one mind and one accord, they will eventually break through the stratosphere, and they'll have a Holy Ghost breakthrough. They'll have a Holy Ghost descent. God will come and make himself known. But if you got a church and a few are praying, but most are not, too busy, too caught up in the things of the world, too busy with life, too selfish in their lifestyle, then you have a break in the harmony of the church. God wants to bring this church to a harmony that is absolutely impenetrable by the devil, that we can break through the stratosphere of Holy Ghost revival and see a mighty move of God. I'm hungry for that mighty move of God. I'm hungry for that mighty, wonderful, glorious move of God Almighty. Now, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You will never discover righteousness until you get hungry for it. If you're not hungry to be righteous, it's not going to happen to you accidentally. If you're not hungry to live in the Bible, it's not going to come against your wishes and against your lifestyle. The only way you're going to live a harmony life with the Bible is to get in the Bible and begin to search it and begin to love it and begin to thrill to it. I remember when preaching was so dynamic in the house of God, and people could hardly sit while they heard the Word of God. Could hardly sit where they heard the Word of God. I don't mean just a noisy shout. I'm talking about a surrender, a yielding to the Word, a yielding to the truth of God's Bible, a coming under the great teaching of the Holy Scripture. Oh, hear me, church. Blessed are they that hunger. How hungry are you this morning? How hungry are you? Have you had any tears on your cheeks this week? Have you been in the Bible any time and just literally read until your soul was moved in a spiritual wave? Have you sought God at all this week until you prayed through and the Holy Ghost began to pray? Oh, I'm talking to you now this morning. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I want to take you to one of the great parables in the book of Matthew. This is in chapter 13 of Matthew. Now, I want us to look at a parable that is just an overwhelming truth. Never saw it in this light before, but I think you will be thrilled just to hear and get the message of this parable. Now notice, it will start with verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables. This is Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. I'll go back to tell you where I'm at. I want you to read with me. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depth of deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns springing up and choked them. Now see that? That's three different classes of people. Three different classes of individuals. Three different expressions of this parable. And all of them are different, but all of them really appear in life. They are things that go on all the time. I mean, it's a regular thing. Some of them fell by the wayside. And the enemy devoured them, and they were no good. And then some fell in stony places where there was no depth. They sprung up but scorched. And then some fell among thorns and bushes and all kinds of stuff. And they rooted them out. I mean, this is happening all the time. People in God's house who are not harmonizing themselves with the sermons they hear. Do you understand that every sermon you hear preached is an invitation for you to take the Bible into your life and to balance your life with the Bible? That's the purpose of preaching. The whole reason for a man of God preaching the sermon in the pulpit is to bring your life in harmony to the Bible. When he preaches holiness, it means that you need to get that particular thing out of your life and live in harmony with the scripture. A woman's long hair is a glory, is a good example. A man's long hair is a shame, another good example. And so when we read those things, we bring our life in harmony with the Bible. If you go to church and you don't bring your life under the authority of the sermons you have heard or hearing, then you are not receiving anything by going to church. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say something. So there's three approaches to the Word of God going out in the congregation. See, he's given us a parable, which is a picture of what is going on in the human experience. He's given us a parable of a picture of what's going on in human lives. The sowing of the seed is the preaching of the Bible. You can't call it nothing else. Teaching and preaching the Bible is the sowing of the seed in this parable that Jesus gave us. And some of it falls in all kinds of soil. There's people that have no depth. They pay very little attention. They don't hear much of what you say. They've got their own eyes set on something else. They're thinking of something else, so they're not hearing. And then in some people, it falls there, and they kind of lack it. But when they leave church, they're so busy. They got so many things going on in their life. They're so caught up over here, and caught up over there, and caught up over there. You know, and so the word doesn't bring forth any fruit because it has no room. And then with some people, they don't have any depth. They're just a shallow person. The church is full of shallow people who just come and hear a little bit and go and come and go and come, and it never gets anywhere. Well, that's the picture that we see in this parable that Jesus is telling. It's not my words. It's not my message. It's his message. And he says that three out of four of all those who come to churches are hearing nothing that is profitable. And most people will say it's more than 75% that aren't getting anything. Most preachers will tell you that about 90% of the church world is not even saved. They haven't even been washed in the blood. They're paying no attention to the Bible and changing their life to meet the Bible. But there is a fourth. There is a fourth. Thank God for that fourth. Wouldn't it be discouraging if we had to see those first three and we couldn't go on and realize there is another? And I love it. But some fell. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So, by the grace of God, all the preaching of the word is not in vain. Three-fourths of it, according to this parable, is Jesus' parable now. He's given us a picture of the church world. He's given us a picture of people who go to church. He's given us a people of people who claim Christianity. And he says, three-fourths of you is a waste of time. You're not allowing the Bible to come into your life and harmonizing your life with the Bible. And so the fourth one is the good one. It falls on good ground. And some brings forth 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, let me try to get you to think a minute. Just sit there right where you're at and think about nobody but yourself. Don't try to think about man or woman sitting over here across from you. Think about yourself. How much of the fruit is it that's coming from the Bible in your listening to the sermons? How much of it are you really hearing? How many of you are going out of here to produce the fruit of harmonious living? Can we just call it harmonious living? Living in the harmony of the Bible. Living in the unity of the Bible. Living exactly like the Bible tells us to live. I'm so grateful. When I got saved 67 years ago, they wouldn't tolerate me not living in that Bible. I don't remember who got me my first King James Bible, but I presume somebody at the church got it for me. I don't remember that at all. Hadn't thought about it. But somebody got me a King James Bible, and I started reading. But I couldn't read. I'd never learned to read. I was a school dropout. 16 years old. Didn't know one word of the scripture. Couldn't read a newspaper. Couldn't read a book. Couldn't read nothing. But I started reading that Bible. And I can tell you until this day, scriptures I wrote in my hands and learned at Western Electric where I was working. Didn't go to pastoring until I was 21. Started preaching at 21. No, 20. Started preaching at 20. Started pastoring at 21. Hey, I want to tell you something. You get in that Bible, it'll change your life. I wanted to live by the Bible. I was foolish enough to know that every word in that Bible was telling me how to live. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How many of you will quote that scripture with me? Man, come on, man. I want everybody to quote it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. Say that again, every word. Come on, say that again, every word. Again, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Raise your hand and thank God for every word of the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When you start living by every word, your life's going to start prospering like it's never prospered. Things are going to change that have to do with every bit of your life. You're going to be amazed when you live by the word of God, harmonizing your life with the Bible. I want every bit of it to be in every bit of me. And I want every bit of me to be full of every bit of that Bible. And I want to live by the word of God. And I'm telling you this morning, when that rapture takes place, that's going to be your wedding garment. Your wedding garment is not going to be what your mouth says. Your wedding garment is going to be by how you live this life in harmony with the Bible. He's coming out to a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Any careless living will keep you out of that rapture. And so if you live a life harmonizing with the Bible, you cannot miss that rapture. If you live a life harmonizing with the Bible, you won't be at that marriage supper. If you live a life harmonizing with the Bible, you're going to live in that new Jerusalem. If you live a life harmonizing with the Bible, you're going to be blessed all the way from here to there. The blessing don't just start when you enter those golden gates. The blessing starts here and now in this world when you live your life harmonizing with the Bible. Yeah, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. 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 Somebody ought to be on their feet shouting this morning. I'm telling you, living your life harmonized with the Bible is the most wonderful thing you can ever imagine. It's as simple as the nose on your face. To live your life harmonizing with the Bible. Doing what the Bible says. Living by every word of the Bible. Being faithful to the Bible to the uttermost degree. Oh, this is not what this world believes today. This world has a smorgasbord look at the Bible. It's a take and leave, a take and choose. It's what you like and what you don't like. You know why the many versions of the Bible are so popular? Because you can find one that meets your own opinion. You can find one that tells it to you like you want to hear it. You can find one that agrees with everything in your old flesh. Hear me, church. God is calling us to live a life in harmony with the Bible. And you just heard it from the parable of Jesus. That 3 out of 4 pay no attention to doing what the Bible says to do. I wish you'd feel the tears that I feel this morning for the multitude of people that I know. I was with my family this week, as you know, and I can't stand the way most of them dress. And I was just thinking one day, and I said, you know, it's kind of pitiful when women who wear men's clothing, breeches, are actually more modest than women who wear dresses. I mean, look, women who wear breeches, at least they cover their nakedness. Women who wear dresses, they spend their day trying to stretch the dress down to where they feel comfortable. I get amazed at seeing women who their hands have more holiness than their heart has. They're always pulling on their dress. Either trying to pull it up or pull it down. Trying to get it to cover. That's because your heart tells you something's wrong. Now, do what your heart tells you and clean it up. I mean, get it in harmony. Are you listening to me? Are you doing what I'm telling you to do? I'm telling you that God's word tells you that you bring your life in harmony with that Bible and you live it every day in harmony with that Bible. And when you do that, your life will start prospering. Your life will start growing. Your life will start maturing. Your faith will start increasing. Your lifestyle will become beautiful. Your testimony will start ringing like a clarion bell. Hallelujah. Live your life in harmony with that Bible. It's as simple as I know how to make it. Oh, God help us. God help us. I love that. Don't ever forget that parable, okay? Go read it when you get home. 13th chapter of St. Matthew. 4 places the Bible lands its feet. 4 places where the Bible settles down and at least is heard. Only 1 out of 4. Prosper and go on to walk with God. Oh, that overwhelms my heart. All right, I think we ought to go for a moment to Proverbs 30. I found that almost accidentally this week, but I liked it so much I wanted to read it to show you the wonderful authority of the Bible. Listen here. Who hath ascended into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Hey, how about that? I didn't see that when I read that earlier. Open your Bible to Proverbs 30. Let's read that together. Verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell, not only his name, but his son's name. Hear that, sister. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, we got to get Chuck reading that. That's wonderful. Who hath heard his name? But look at the next verse. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto the words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Woo, great. I read that earlier this morning, and it just overwhelmed me. Don't ever remember reading it before. No, never. I like that. What is his name? And what is his son's name? Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, that's beautiful scripture, Sister Leona. That's beautiful words. Hallelujah. What is his son's name? Who can tell? Who can tell? And he says, if you add a word to that Bible, you're going to be found a liar. Wow. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? Thou shalt be found a liar. Now, I got to go on because time is going to give out on me. And I want to get over here to this piano in a moment. Listen to me. I want you, let's go, if we might, back to Matthew 6. That's the powerful word that I truly love. I really love that word. The light of the body is the eye. Now hold it right there. Take your right finger. Everybody, come on all over the building. Listen to me, will you? I can tell you're not listening because you're not doing what I ask. How about raising up your right finger? Everybody in the building, come on, raise up your right finger. The light of the body is the eye. Point your finger to your eye. Now listen. That means this is where the light of your conscience is. This is where you see right and wrong. This is where you perceive things that God is saying. This is where the things of God get into your mind. They get into your conscience. They get into your spirit. They become part of you. The light of the body is the eye. Everything that you really know and that really affects your life has to get into your conscience. It has to get into your thought processes. It has to become part of your spiritual life. Now, let's stay right there a minute because I want you to get that before we go to the next part of that sentence. Everything you are has to start here in your eye or your conscience or your spirit. Nothing's going to affect you if it doesn't get into your eye and into your spirit. It's got to get there. That's where it starts. The light of the body, the light of your whole being, the light of your whole person is in your conscience. It's in your mind. It's in your eye. It's in your spirit. Now, listen. Let's go further. Now, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single. Now, are you reading that? Therefore, if your eye be single, what does that word single mean? It means without duplicity, without double-mindedness, without no doubts or confusions. It means the light of your body is plain, It is clear. It is beautiful. It is lucid. It overwhelms you. It possesses you. And because this light is single, it fills your whole body. Man, you become a stalwart person in the Holy Ghost. You become a stalwart person in the Spirit of God, because the words of God have no longer remained as duplicit in your mind. A double-mindedness would be an easier word to remember. No longer are you double-minded. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Book of James. So here Jesus is saying, if your eye be single, then your whole body is going to be full of light. Your whole body is going to be full of light. If your eye be single, your whole body is going to be full of light. Are you listening to me? If your eye be single, your whole body is going to be full of light. You can leave here this morning with a half-made-up mind. You can leave here with a double-mindedness. You can leave here half-baked. That's another term for that, half-baked. The Bible talks about that. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks. He's talking to you. And he says, if your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. Woo! I know what God wants, because my body is full of light, you can say. I know where I'm going. I'm not confused by the doctrines of this crazy world, because I got my head on straight. That's what I'm trying to help you say. I'm not talking that for me. I'm talking that for all of us. Get your head on straight. Get your eyes single. Get rid of that duplicity. Hear what God says and say clearly to yourself, I'm going to live it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk with God. Hallelujah. The whole body is full of light. Oh, glory. Can you imagine a church of a couple hundred people where they are in harmony? They prayed until they are in one mind and one accord, and everybody's on the same path. Nobody's cutting down nobody. Nobody's trying to figure out how to be critical and how to win the popularity game. It's just all people who are in love with Jesus. They're full of light, and they want to turn the world upside down. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel His Holy Ghost. Somebody raise your hand and say hallelujah. Go ahead, boy. And say, boy, I feel His Holy Ghost in this church, folks. Oh, God's trying to bring us to that place of harmony. Your whole body full of light. Well, I don't know what to do with myself. Glory, glory, glory. But if your eye be dark, that means double. That means you're not hearing the truth. That means you read a little bit of the Bible and you don't pay it no attention. That means you've never surrendered. Across your heart. I feel such Holy Ghost anointing. Hey, church, I want to tell you something. God's trying to do something with us. It's overwhelming. It's beautiful. He started months and months and months ago, and God's had to struggle and struggle and struggle with all of us. And God's trying to get us to the place He can do something for us. Are you ready, Sister Hope? Are you ready? I forgot that name all of a sudden. I remembered it. Carmen. Sister Carmen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready, Sister Vet? Brother Joe. Now listen to me, church. Listen to me. If your eye is single, now sitting right where you're at, where is the Bible in your thinking? Have you made the Bible the total, total acceptance of all your life? So that you are now at the place that you want to live by every scripture in the book. How many are there? Let me see your hand. I want to live by every scripture in the book. Raise your hand way up high. Shake it if you would. I want to live by every word in that Bible. I want to live by that whole book. I want to do what that whole book says. I want to live like God would have me live. Well, I got to get to my point. I called the man who tunes the pianos for us. His first name is Carl. I said, Carl, I got to have your help. I want to know how you tune a piano. What's the first thing you do? He said, well, the first thing is you got a box. He didn't say it just in these list of words. I'm putting it all together. And that box is a tuner. He said, I can go right on the piano, and I can work on a particular note This note right here, and I don't know where it is down here, but he would. And you tighten that, and you hit that. And that little box sitting there has a built-in system to note when the tune is right. If he hits that note and the tune is right, it goes to a point right at the middle that says, this is it. So you tune the piano with the box. You don't start with your brain. You start with the box. I made him emphasize that you got to have some source that is fundamental. You got to have some source that is bedrock. You got to have some source that is the absolute foundation. He said that box is the foundation. I said, so in the Christian life, this Bible is the foundation. This is the tuning box right here. Are you hearing me? This is the tuning box right here. When your life is right and you open the Bible, it points right to the point of right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. And so a piano tuner doesn't go by his noggin. He goes by that box. That's the starting point. Now, it's got to go a little bigger than that, so you got to hear every bit of it. He says, but let's say while you're tuning the piano, you get each note right, but you go and here's three notes that you're working on together because you got to have harmony. And he says, sometimes one of those notes will be a little bit off from the other two. And you got to put all three of them in harmony with one another. He said, that's where you have to use your head. See, even in interpreting the Bible, he doesn't do it for you. He gives you a responsibility. You read the Bible, and you read it just like it is. You rightly divide it. Remember, God said that. You rightly divide the Bible. And so, once you read the Bible, and you know what's right and wrong, then you have to interpret those right and wrongs to fit your lifestyle. And we just talked, and it was so beautiful. And that's when he told me about the airplane. He said, the airplane flying over, if one of those jet motors is running on a little different speed or a little different power, then you got a give and take of the noise that's coming from that jet plane going overhead. I said, is it the same way with cars? He said, absolutely. Your car gets out of tune, what does it do? It chucks and chuggles and does all kinds of noises. You ever drove a car out of tune? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Have you ever had a car out of tune? I mean, every car, I guess, gets out of tune sometimes. What do you do when a car gets out of tune? You take it to somebody that has a balanced way to put that car in motion. And I'm going to tell you, a good mechanic doesn't just go by his head. He has a machine there that tells him exactly when the tuning is perfect. And then the car runs smooth. You know how an old car out of tune does? It's amazing. I've drove them a few times. And man, you're looking for a mechanic when you drive one. But when you get them in tune, listen, your life is just like that. When you out of tune, you just don't understand, but your life is not the harmony it ought to be. You don't get along with other people like you ought to. The church becomes such a breakup of ideas and opinions, and it becomes a pitiful mess. And the church world is in that condition right now. The church world. I guess there's a church somewhere that has perfect harmony, but it sure ain't Paul Creek. And I'm hungry for it. I'm on my face for it. And I'm going to tell every one of you, you got to get in harmony. We've got to get in harmony. You've got to get everything out of you that's not harmonious with your church and this ministry for God's kingdom. And we've got to become under the burden for each other. Are you ready? Are you ready? I tell you, it's coming. I know what the Holy Ghost said. I know it's coming. I know we're in the process. We're going through some moments of discord and confusion. One man came to me this morning to tell me of a call he got this week from somebody out of harmony. Somebody trying to create a noise. Somebody trying to hurt the work of God. And I've heard of others who got sick. I want to tell you something, friend. That's a sign that somebody is out of tune. But this morning, saying, I want us to get in tune with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And let's go for God. Let's get the Bible as the bedrock of our lives. And I'm here to tell you, it's a beautiful thing. I can think of nothing no better than somehow Joe Chambers can tune himself up with that Bible until my harmony is just as clear as the keys on that piano. And you know, a man who plays a guitar, you know what he does? His guitar gets out of tune. Well, I've watched them. They get up from their seat, and they walk over here to the piano, and they touch a note, and they work on a string. They touch another note, and they work on a string. That guitar player don't trust their own mind. They've got to have a foundation, somewhere to check on, somewhere to correct anything that's out of harmony. This morning, I want to make a commitment in front of you that as never before in my life, I commit myself to the Bible. If you can do that with me, how about raising a right hand? No more than that, how about standing up and saying, I commit myself to the Bible. I commit myself to the Bible. Come on, let's commit ourselves to the Bible this morning. Let's quit trying to figure it out ourselves. Don't listen to Brother Chambers unless I'm right straight in the Bible. The only time Brother Chambers is right is when he stays in the Word of God. Did I stay in the Word this morning? What do you think? Did I, Sister David? I stay in the Word this morning? Anybody else? Did I stay in the Word this morning? Did I stay in the Word? Did I stay in the Word? Did I stay in the Word? Woo! Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. You get your life in harmony with this Bible, and you'll be in harmony with the world around you. Hallelujah. No, not the world. I'm sorry. The saints around you. I meant to say the spiritual world. You'll be in harmony with the spiritual world around you. And I want to tell you something in bringing my sermon to a close this morning. I want to tell you, now listen to me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What are you saying? I'm saying here's a man who will not tune himself to the world. He won't tune himself to the wicked and how they walk. He won't tune himself to the ungodly and how they talk. He won't tune himself to those around him and how they think. The Bible makes it plain. He does not do that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm here to tell you, the only way to stay in harmony with the Bible is to work on it every day for the rest of your life. You don't stop today or tomorrow, Sister Francis. You do it every day, living in that Bible. Bringing your life under the authority of that Bible. Are you ready? I believe you are, Francis. God surely changed your life. Listen to me, church. And what happens? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Now, what happens to this man or woman? He shall be like a tree that planteth by the rivers of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Did you hear that? Do I need to quote that again? Let me do it again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Listen to me, Brother Joe. This is what God's doing in you. I see real progress. If you will continue this, bring your life in harmony with that Bible every day. Listen to every word of every sermon. Try them according to the Scripture. Whatever you hear from anybody in this pulpit, me included, doesn't match that Bible. You don't have to obey it. You shouldn't obey it. Only the Bible, only the Word of God. And you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, Brother Jose, shall prosper. Sokale Kamara. Raise your hand and tell him you love him. I love you, Lord. Oh, I feel your Holy Ghost this morning, Lord. I thank you for anointing me to preach this message. If ever I preached a sermon that is bedrock, I think this must be it. If ever I preached a sermon that must be at the heart of our lives, Lord, this has got to be it. I'm declaring, Lord, living in balance with the Bible is happy, holy, wonderful living. Living in love with the Bible is a marvelous life. Living in love with the Bible is the most beautiful life in the world. Nothing like it. God, I'm ready. I want you to meet me on this altar. Every last one of you, if you will. Meet me in this altar. Come, young people. Come, children. Come, family. God, help us living in harmony with the Bible. You say, Brother Chambers, I can't live by the Bible.
I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. Then Jesus shined a light on me, and then he turned on my night today. And now I am saved by grace. By grace.
The gates swing open wide.